Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Peter Clark, the co-founder and CEO of Journey. Good morning, Peter. How are you doing?
Good. I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us today. It looks like your dog's having a little nap back there. Is he?
Oh, yes. He's resting up for the, there's an England World Cup match today. Very big day in my life. So yes, he's resting up for that.
I have a bunch of friends that are very interested in that. They were talking about it last night. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, my background is really around product and marketing. I went through the startup accelerator Y Combinator in 2011, founded a company called UserFox, which was a marketing automation company. That company ended up being acquired by AdRoll, the performance marketing company. I worked there for 4 years on B2B growth. And then after 4 years, ran direct to consumer and did some advisory work in the direct to consumer world for a few years. And now most recently I founded the company Journey with some colleagues of mine from AdRoll.
Very good. And so what does Journey do? What's it all about?
Yeah, with Journey, it's what we describe as an interactive presentation tool. You know, when having worked in B2B for a long time, we just felt like there needs to be a better way to tell stories on the internet. If you're a salesperson trying to sell software on the internet, it's a really hard job because people are so busy. They get, you know, bombarded with phone calls and emails. So what we're trying to do with Journey is really bring kind of that authenticity back to selling and buying software. So a salesperson can create an interactive journey very quickly. It can contain product demos, calendars, pricing plans, you know, all sorts of interactive materials. They can send it to a prospect. That prospect can browse it, consume it in their own time. They can ask questions to the seller asynchronously. And then, you know, when they feel ready to actually talk to a human, they can easily book time and kind of proceed with the sales journey there. But, you know, we just think of it as a more respectful way in some ways of buying software in 2021.
So it kind of combines a bunch of things together, like PowerPoint and scheduling and...
Yeah,
all in one, it sounds like.
Yeah, we were very inspired by Zapier, if you're familiar with that, you can really, you know, and with Journey, what we do is we don't do a lot of the content creation. We allow you to stitch together a presentation made up of other things. So, you know, that could be a Notion document talking about your product, could then play a YouTube video. It could show a Loom video talking about your pricing and then your Calendly. And you can kind of sequence all of this different content all into one shareable app.
Right. And they just, I assume the end user just consumes it on their own time through a web browser?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's, as we've seen in 2020, especially, you know, people are moving more asynchronously, moving more remote. They don't want to speak on the phone constantly. And, you know, the idea is really that they can just continuously reference this journey to learn and kind of research the product that they're buying, the job offer that they're being sent, you know, really any kind of, I think there's so many decisions that have to be made where a human can help you navigate that. But it's at the same time kind of a drag talking on the phone with someone that you don't know yet. They don't know what you're interested in. You don't even know what questions to ask yet because you have got no context. So doing that asynchronously is, in our opinion, a much more efficient way.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it sounds like you're maybe making it so people don't have to use Zoom so often. Is that a good
good? Yeah, guess? We ultimately think that Zoom is really good for closing. You know, if you're getting close a candidate, you probably want to jump on a Zoom. If you want to close a deal, jump on a Zoom. But there's so many things where an email is a much more convenient medium. And then you end up writing paragraphs and paragraphs. And why can't we have a higher bandwidth way of communicating asynchronously?
Very cool. So when did you start Journey?
We started the company really in January of this year.
Oh, wow.
So, but we were kind of prototyping in this space for the last year or so.
So you actually started a company in the middle of a pandemic.
We did, yes.
So are all of you located in the Seattle area, or are you spread throughout the country or the world?
With more or less throughout the world. So there's three co-founders of Journey. I'm in Seattle. My co-founder, Brendan, is in New York. And my third co-founder, Anil, he's kind of splits his time between LA and New York. Hmm. And then I'm from England, and we have a number of engineers that are in England. That's where our design team is, in England as well. And we kind of ultimately felt like being a remote first company is actually instills very good habits for companies. So we were very excited to do that rather than have everyone crammed into an office.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm assuming you don't have an office, and do you foresee that as you grow, you will have an office, or do you think you're going to stay, 100% remote?
We're going to be remote first, but obviously if there's five people living in the same zip code or in Manhattan, I think it obviously makes sense to have some form of place where people can work there. I think, you know, I'm very concerned about having, if you have 70% of people in an office and then 30% of people remote, I don't want, you know, we need to make sure that the dynamics are still remote first, but it does make sense for people to, you know, be able to communicate in person if they so wish.
Mm-hmm. And do you think when you started the company that being remote was actually an advantage because, first of all, less cost, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And since I'm assuming you all knew each other, so communication wasn't probably much of an issue, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think when we started the company, we knew that it was going to be a remote company. You know, I worked remote at my last company, and then when I worked at AdRoll, that was also, you know, it was based in San Francisco, but we had people all over the place. And I think that we rapidly realized that once you have more than one office, you're basically a remote company, but you're probably just doing it in a pretty bad way. Mm-hmm. And if you're a remote first company, you kind of solve that and you can have offices, but you maintain a lot of good habits.
Yeah, well, I think people distinguish between remote and distributed. So distributed is more the multiple offices, and it sounds like you're purely remote, correct?
That's correct. But I think the distributed model is quite unpleasant for a lot of people. You know, when I worked at AdRoll, we had offices in Dublin and San Francisco and Tokyo, and collaboration was really challenging because you didn't have the habits of working asynchronously or remotely. So you were kind of just doing in-person interactions, but over Zoom in very funny hours.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is when you have a distributed workforce, you tend to have more of this is our clan and this is our clan, and mm-hmm. naturally promotes that us versus them unless management really does something to address that, correct?
Yeah. And it's super challenging where if you have multiple offices and you hire, you know, I remember hiring the first data analyst in a different country. Mm-hmm. And it's super challenging for them because they come to an office, they don't really interact with anyone or collaborate with anyone in that office. And all of the rest of the team is in a different time zone. Yeah. That's a really challenging position to make that person really happy.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think a lot of companies are struggling with that now. And I think, I mean, what's your opinion? Because you're talking to companies, do you think that most people now that they were forced to go remote, do you think they're going to continue that route? And or do you think they'll stay hybrid to a degree?
I think that most companies are going to struggle to go back to being fully in person because I think employees aren't going to be super excited about it. And I think that there's a lot of benefits as well. So my guess is that most companies are going to be hybrid, which I think is going to be a very challenging, you know, in some ways you get the worst of both worlds with that. But, you know, I think that most companies should move towards more remote.
I would agree. But I think there's a certain group of people that just want that. They want to be in the office. They want to have mm-hmm. that, water cooler talk and all that stuff. And they want to be able to tap someone on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Although I think most technical people really like the idea of just call me when you need me, let me code. Right.
Yeah. I think it will increasingly be a large decision of like, what is your company culture will be defined by how do you work and mm-hmm. how you work. It will be partially defined by like, well, do you have offices? Do you have hybrid? Are you remote? Because I've worked with CEOs who are 100% in-person meeting, don't want to email, just want to have phone calls and in-person. And like those CEOs run 5,000 person companies and they're never, ever, ever going to be a remote company.
Right.
And, you know, at the same time, there's CEOs out there that are very happy to work asynchronously. And so, but it's just, you know, it will just depend on the company and the culture that they want to drive. Yeah, I think it's also a generational thing.
And I actually think now that it's, you know, because remote was going on an upward trend before COVID, and then COVID just like skyrocketed. Yep. But I think it's going to be a differentiator between companies. Some companies are going to say we're remote, and others are going to be no, we want you in the office. And employees are going to gravitate to the one they're more comfortable with, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will be a near binary decision. I imagine most people will. Like I know a lot of employees that really miss the office, and I know a lot of employees that don't in any way miss the office.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't really seem like a lot of people are like, don't care. You know, some people want hybrid, for example. Right. But you very rarely meet someone that's just like, I could go, you know, I don't care. It's not a factor for me.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. Cause I've talked to people and they're like, cause I've been working remote, you know, for over 10 years. Like, how have you done that? I'm like, it's really nice. Especially when you don't have to deal with San Francisco traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when I lived in San Francisco and I worked for San Francisco companies, I would at most go into the office 2 days a week and I would just have back-to-back meetings and then I would leave, and that was more than sufficient for me.
Yeah, and you lived in the city, so as you know, just to get from one side of the city to the other can take an hour some mornings.
Yeah, the commute time, I think, has been a revelation for many people. I mean, San Francisco is a good example where if you live in the Marina, which many people do, and you want to work, your office is in Soma. I remember at Adroll, our office was in the Mission. Mm-hmm. Like getting from the Marina to the Mission that's an ordeal. That's a 40-minute commute to go 7 miles.
Yes.
There's hills. There's no way to bike that. There's no BART. So it's a nightmare, honestly. If you have, a dog or children, you want to pop home, there's basically no way to do that.
Yes, no, I know. And I was coming from the peninsula for a year into the mm-hmm. city. It's like, oh my God, this is, and it took an hour.
Yep.
There was no way around it.
Yeah. And I think most people have been surprised by, if you gain that time back, you can do 50%. You can spend 50% of that time saved on work and 50% on anything else. And it's kind of a net positive for everyone.
Yeah, no, I that's the one thing I've noticed is that most people, when they work from home, the business gets a little part of the commute back and the person mm-hmm. gets a little bit of it back. So it is a win-win for both parties. And just the things you can do if you're home that you can't do when you're at the office. If you have to run your kids to the doctor yeah. real quick, right? All you need is an internet connection. If you're used to working from home, all you need is an internet connection.
Yep. I think there's always been a cultural thing of, when I worked at the company Juul, Juul, and that was a technology / CPG company, but it had a bit of a culture of kind of butts on seats in some ways. And there was a real thing, and everyone would leave the office at 5:30, and it was completely stupid because it was entirely optics. But one of the nice things about remote is that people can do their work and then they can move on with their life. They don't have to waste, if you have a meeting at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m., you don't have to sit around for those 2 hours wondering what to do. You can go and hang out with your kids and then resume work when appropriate.
Yeah, no, and that's how I've always done it. And I agree with you. It's just like one of the things I always liked is the stuff that people do on weekends, like grocery shopping and all that. I can do that on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. There's no one at the grocery store.
I mean, if you're into any hobbies,
yes.
having a moderate amount of flexibility is a complete game changer. If you can, if you and I play golf, if you can tee off at 7 a.m. Mm. and you can be home at 9:30 and you can start working at 10 a.m., that's a massive improvement in quality of life that is basically impossible to do if you have a 45-minute commute.
Yeah, that's true. And I tend to do the summer tea time at 2 p.m. on a Friday, which avoids the whole Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. I think 4-day work weeks or 4.5-day work weeks is an entirely different thing that is now unlocked mm-hmm. by remote, or at least it's on the table for discussion, whereas when you were just doing 9-to-5 in an office, it was completely intractable.
Yeah, it was. Well, Peter, it's been great talking to you. It sounds like we have a lot of the same ideas about how this is going to unfold. Before we go, tell people how they can check out your product. What's the website?
You can go to Journey. Yeah, go to journey.io. It's there's a demo on the website. We kind of dog food our product a lot ourselves. You can check it out. You can sign up for the waitlist and be onboarded by myself or Brendan and go from there.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you again, sir, and have a great week.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Bye.
Bye.